Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and shalom, saints of God, and thanks for tuning in on a very busy news day. We will be looking into Genesis 1 tonight, but first, let's begin by asking for God's blessing for this program and upon all you listeners.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless your name, O Lord. We honor and praise you in all things. For you bring great goodness into our lives. We embrace your word, which brings to light your loving kindness that feeds us and sustains us. And we thank you for your enduring grace and mercy. Please show extra favor to those who are called by your name, especially those who are sick among us. May they experience joy in their suffering while they anticipate their healing. We lift up in prayer the salvations of our loved ones. May you do whatever it takes to bring them to their knees. We pray protection for our president and all our honest government leaders, that they do your will to fulfill your divine prophecies. We ask all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And may the blessings of God be upon you all. Amen.
All right. Well, where do we start?
Well, Catholic conservative appellate Judge Barrett of Illinois is on the hot seat this week, but is answering questions extremely well by not saying what she would do in any certain case, which is the Ginsburg rules for nominees. She is expected to be confirmed, and the Dems are not happy.
That's putting it lightly.
Let me add that if anyone thinks that she will overturn Roe versus Wade, well, you better think again. You know, the Republican Party has held a majority of the Supreme Court for 50 years, and yet Roe has never been overturned. So if it wasn't overturned by now, she, if it comes down to her being the decided vote, she's not going to rock the boat either. Now, remember what we thought of Justice Roberts, and even Justice Scalia dissented when he was really needed over the LGBT hearing.
Well, even Trump's Justice Kavanaugh has disappointed conservatives already.
Yes, but I do hope she can at least make some difference, because things are going downhill fast. At least approve the heartbeat legislation, which could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, we'll see.
I did do a little checking on some of her comments that she has stressed a few times, that a judge may not let personal preference, in other words, her morality, color her decisions, and did reference the fact that she didn't believe the right to abortion would change.
Well, so that's a big clue.
Mm-hmm. And she also said the biological boys using girls' bathrooms is a whoever is in charge issue, and never even suggested that the idea is outrageous. Judge Barrett has sided with government on almost every civil case, every big employer case, most criminal cases, while also siding with the government on COVID lockdowns, which is really killing small businesses, while advancing big corporations like Amazon and Walmart. And that's just some things I read.
Well, but when you know about her childhood, is almost understandable.
Oh, yeah, perhaps, for she does come from the old money corporate South. And her dad, I believe, was a big corporate lawyer for Shell Oil. Anyhow, a very upstanding and intelligent woman who will be confirmed before the election.
And then we'll soon see.
Yes, we will. And just like Bill Barr, who is still under the thumb of the Bush dynasty.
Our attorney general.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about him often. And he's proving us correct.
Well, you know, even President Trump is openly upset with him.
Mm-hmm. In that Barr has just said that there will be no Durham report or indictments before the election. Therefore, knowing full well that that would damage Joe Biden and give President Trump a sure win.
Well, this corruption is infuriating.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Barr will say things here and there to raise your hopes, but it actually had to be President Trump that finally went over his head to release the unredacted documents to include Hillary's emails, proving, finally, that she was definitely behind the Russian hoax debacle to remove President Trump.
And if Biden gets in, all these investigations will be shut down.
Which makes me think evil might just get a victory here. Mm-mm. After all, as scripture says, evil will wax worse and worse, unless God wants to slow it down. For everything ultimately is in his timing, and that is just a true fact.
Well, a question asked more than once this week is, do you think these COVID vaccines will be made mandatory?
Oh, yeah. If the Dems get in, for sure, right now. Dr. Fauci, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, well, he's already set the stage for a mandatory coronavirus vaccine. And the New England Journal of Medicine is now saying that the COVID vaccine should be required and that those who refuse should face severe repercussions.
Medical tyranny is obviously on the horizon.
But although President Trump is pushing for the vaccine, I do not believe if he wins that he would force anybody that decided against it.
But Biden's entourage certainly will.
Oh, no doubt. Think about this. How many vaccinations did you receive as a child?
Well, for me, I can only think of a couple.
Well, I only remember the prickly polio and then later the sugar cube. Our children had maybe six, but now kids are required to get something like 49 doses of 14 vaccines before they're 6 years old. And by 18, the CDC recommends they get 72 doses of 17 vaccines.
You know, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. Because we see there are many side effects, including autism, and the newer one called Tourette's, causing tics or unexpected jerks, and a host of other ailments, like even asthma and allergies.
You know, and some might not show up until much later.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Therefore, diseases are disassociated as resulting from the vaccines. And here's another rub. Thanks to Bush's Republican House and Senate, Congress's PrEP Act of 2005 rules, if any vaccine damages you or your child, you cannot sue the manufacturer.
So Big Pharma is totally free from all liability.
That's right. We could say more, but I cover this in the next newsletter coming out hopefully this weekend. But bottom line, educate yourself so you can inform others. After all, if they allow a mother the right to choose to kill her unborn baby, we should have the right to choose against what might be a very harmful COVID vaccine. And many believe will contain AI or artificial intelligence technology.
Much more coming in the upcoming newsletter.
For sure. At some point, there will be a mandatory vaccine. After all, billions of dollars are gained by Big Pharma, as well as Bill Gates, and Fauci has his hands in the cookie jar, too.
By the way, the CDC does hold at least 56 patents on multiple vaccines.
They sure do.
Well, how's Israel these days?
Well, COVID is finally decreasing after its severe lockdowns.
You know, sadly, it had to happen during the fall festivals.
Yes. And unfortunately, they are experiencing right now some 250 wildfires across the country. And arson is suspected. Netanyahu continues to argue over the budget and about his desire to keep the lockdowns in place still for another week.
Well, that's not going over very well.
Meanwhile, Bibi is making nice with his new Arab friends while hoping to make more. However, members of his Knesset, well, they're requesting to see more details regarding the Temple Mount. And so do we, for that would tell us a lot as far as prophecy goes.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your message 2440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please partner with us by considering a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. And as always, it's greatly appreciated. And we'll add your name to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. And especially helpful if you missed any of these studies on the fall feast.
Be sure to take advantage of that. All right, then, time for some easy Hebraic roots on a topic we haven't taught in any detail for over 2 years. But it needs to be, because it adds a big component to end-time prophecy understanding. So, what does it mean when you read in Scripture that something will happen in that day?
It always means in the future.
Yes. Right at the rapture, the seventh day of 1,000 years will begin.
So, let's connect some dots.
Before we turn to Genesis, let's read where God confirms he uses typology to teach us the future. And you can read that in Hosea 12:10.
I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions, and I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets.
Okay, so the Hebrew word for symbols is actually dama, which means similitudes or types. So again, typology is used in all the Old Testament stories by God, and he uses it as a genuine form of predictive prophecy stemming from the patterns of his word to unveil the future. Now let's go to Genesis, to the very first picture or typological teaching written thousands of years ago by Moses.
The wonderful typology of creation.
Yes. Purposely arranged to teach us. I mean, do you really think he needed 7 days to do what he did? Or did he have an agenda to reveal to us his future timeline that he already planned out long before it came to be?
But first, we have to read the Bible literally.
Right, as a true occurrence that it really happened. Then, which is what we call studying Scripture, you look for the future application it even more importantly unveils. So, before time, there was eternity, and after time will be eternity again. When God created the heavens and the earth, he also created time.
So, one evening and one morning, does that mean a 24-hour day?
Yes. The second day he divided the waters and made the firmament, and the third day the plant life, and the fourth day the sun for the plants to survive through photosynthesis. And that's a huge clue why each day had to be 24 hours.
Well, you know, otherwise the plants would die.
Because we know, except for miracles, God functions within the limitations of natural laws, which of course is why he himself put them into place.
On the fifth day, he created birds and fish.
Mm-hmm. And finally, on the sixth day, the cattle and large animals. And just before the Sabbath begins at sundown, he created man, which is why six is the number for man, one short of complete. But someday will be a seven.
And Jesus' number is eight.
Mm-hmm. Meaning never ending. So then on the seventh day, God rested. Now let me ask everyone an important question. Was God tired, since Genesis says he rested?
No, it's a type.
And again, why did he take 6 days when he could have done it all in a minute?
Once again, it's typology.
And God never wasted Scripture. Everything is there for a reason. The six literal days of creation is also confirmed in Exodus 20, verse 11.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay, let's repeat. We first take the scriptures literally. This is so even a child can understand the basics. Then, as we mature, we look for the picture or typology that it represents. The Old Testament contains hundreds of pictures, and many are revealed in the New Testament. So the bottom line here, from my years of study, is that each day of creation is a picture of 1,000 years that man will be here before eternity starts up again. The last 1,000 years represents the millennial kingdom, with the first 7 of that day being Jacob's trouble on earth. But the righteous will be in heaven on our honeymoon. And honey, you have a couple scriptures more of confirmation.
Psalms 90 in verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past and a watch in the night.
So pretty quick to God. Also Psalm 84:10.
For a day in your courts is better than 1,000.
And Peter in the New Testament, well, he's even more clear. Would you read 2 Peter 3:8?
But beloved, do not forget this one thing.
Okay, wait. Hold on for a second. For Peter to point out that we need to remember this one particular thing, that means it must be pretty important, wouldn't you say?
Yes, most definitely.
Please read that again.
But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
So now, when read in context, and I implore you to do so, Peter's talking about the last days. He also mentions creation and the judgment. So what he is saying is a huge clue that at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of man, which by the way is celebrated on Rosh Hashanah, the last 1,000 years begins with judgment upon the earth for 7 years. Then Jesus Christ returns and the millennial kingdom that began for us in heaven finishes down on earth. And by the way, our first and second century very learned forefathers taught this same typology of creation.
As 2 Timothy 1 and Titus 1 does say, we should keep to what was first taught.
Now, because of human error, we cannot be sure when the 6,000 years is up, but he has given us many clues, as he said he would, and we're pretty close. And the dividing of Jerusalem in the last days, well, that's just the cherry on top of all the other clues.
Which looks like will happen very soon.
Mm-hmm. So now it is easier to see how and why God in his word used the phrase in that day or that day, which refers to the seventh day, which lasts 1,000 years. Sometimes that day refers to the tribulation, or we'll read something like the dark time of the day, or it can refer to the light part of the day when referencing the millennial kingdom. Can you see why in creation God called the first part of the 24 hours, the night? Because it's a type of spiritual darkness of evil coming first in the 7,000th year called the tribulation before the light of Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. Remember, at sundown is when the calendar changes in Israel to the next calendar date. That's God's calendar. So, think about this. Ever wonder why God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17, he said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die? But they didn't die. Now, of course, most say, well, that meant spiritually. And that too. But if you take it literally to mean die physically, when you apply the day is a thousand years theory, then it makes total sense because Adam lived 930 years. So he died before the first day of a thousand years was over. And to confirm this, when you look up the word die, D-I-E, it is number 4191 in Hebrew, the word muth, that's M-U-W-T-H, and it absolutely does mean a physical dead body. So, when you read in a proper translation of Scripture, in that day or that day, it always refers to the last 1,000 years of time. So, if you're reading from the prophets, as in perhaps Daniel chapters 8 through chapter 11, if you do not see in that day written anywhere near his prophecies, it means, yes, it was fulfilled after Daniel wrote about it, but way before today's generation. That's how you know if it comes after us, after the rapture, or has previously been fulfilled. Still, there is the typology, as in the little horn of Daniel 8, when he prophesied about Antiochus Epiphanes, who, by the way, was raised in Rome. Great typology there. And he showed up after Daniel wrote about it, but before the New Testament. The Antiochus Epiphanes typology does picture the coming Antichrist as the little horn out of Rome, Daniel 7, verse 8. And from Daniel 9, 24 through 27, the Antichrist will come from the same peoples who destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And that is Rome. It's a no-brainer. So therefore, he's not going to be from a Muslim country. In fact, the Vatican created the Muslim religion by deceptively convincing an Arab named Muhammad to help Rome fight its enemies to gain Jerusalem. That plan fell through when the Muslims grew strong quite quickly and decided, well, they also wanted Jerusalem. So then the Vatican organized another army called the Crusaders and promised them time off in purgatory to fight for the Pope. Did you ever wonder why Chrislam had been created, or why Pope John kissed the Quran, or that the Muslims also pray on beads and the women wear clothing similar to the nuns, all covered up? On our website, we archived a program about all this dated, and it's dated 2/11/2014. And my resource for this can be found at Chick Publications, which is chick.com, and still available to order through them. So quickly, here's some homework. Read the book of Zechariah and underline every time you see the words in that day or that day. I think you will agree it always refers to the future, and the bride is not here for the first 7 years. Then evil is removed by Jesus, Revelation 19, and he will set up his kingdom on a cleaned up earth. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, are you saved? Are you the bride of Christ? Time to do it. You're running out of time for sure. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that perfect peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, have a great week.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.